And finally, how is the Lord working with us in the church? This is all part of our salvation. He's maturing us. Christ gave the fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up or equipped, another word used there, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. The word there means reaching the end point, the purpose for which we were created. And what's the purpose for which we were created? Notice what I have in yellow. That's a whole separate subject. Attaining to the whole measure of the fullness, in the Greek pleroma, of Christ. In other words, that is God's plan for you and for you and for you and for me. For us to achieve the measure of the fullness of Christ. What is the fullness of Christ? Next slide. Colossians 2, verses 9 and 10. For in him, in Christ, all the fullness, or pleroma, of deity, the state of being God, dwells in bodily form. And in him, you, meaning all of us, we have been made complete. Pleru, from that same word. And he is the head over all rule and authority. Next verse, Ephesians 3, 17 and 19. This is really amazing. This one takes time to digest. I must confess, I don't understand it 100%. I'm still praying about it, meditating about it, waking up at night and thinking about it. Let's read it. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you, meaning all of us, that you, this is God's desire for each and every Christian, every son and daughter. It's not just going to heaven and sitting around playing a harp. No, this is God's plan, that you, all of us, may be filled with all the fullness, pleroma, of God. Amen. What does that mean? That's something I'm still praying about. But that's God's desire, that we be filled with all his fullness through our participation in the life of Christ. Does that mean we become God? No, that's heresy. We are vessels for God, containers for God, in which he pours his glory. And when you think about it, God created so many magnificent things, so many magnificent creations. The angels, the cherubim, the seraphim. Of all creation, we, brothers and sisters, we are the only ones who are going to be indwelt by the living God himself. Isn't that amazing? I don't understand. I don't think anyone on earth really understands what that fully means. Some people have gone into heresy saying that we become God. That's not the case. We become containers for him. And I prove that. Next slide. Through these, 2 Peter 1:4, he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate, take part in the divine nature, having a corruption in this world caused by evil desires. So as the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us, we are indwelt by the living God himself. We are carriers of the living God. In the ancient Israel, they had the ark, where the priest carried on the ark. Each and every one of us, we are a living ark. Inside us dwells the living God. It doesn't make us God. It makes him God. It makes us containers, vessels. And God reminds us of that, in case we get a little swollen-headed. Notice 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. We have this treasure, this deposit of God, this valuable blessing that we have, in jars of clay. Why? Why does Paul remind us? So that, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God, not to us. Amen? So that's the, don't get swollen headed because God lives in you. Don't think you're anything great. You're just a vessel, a container in a jar of clay that God travels in. Amen? But we are so blessed, no other creation can say that. The angels can't. In fact, it says in Hebrews, he did not die for the angels. He died for us. Jesus is not 100% angel, and he's 100% human and 100% God. And he will always be like that. So in the Godhead, we have a brother who really understands us. Amen? And what's unlike the angels, the cherubim, and seraphim, he indwells each and every one of us. So as you walk around, you're carrying around the living God in you. You are an ark of the presence of God. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? That's why salvation is so great. I used to go to a prison in America and meet with the prisoners and so on. A very big prison. In fact, that prison was so big, it's called Lompoc. It's close to, it's on the west coast, it's in California. It's close to Santa Barbara on the west coast. It's a huge prison, thousands of murderers and so on. And they're so big, they have their own farm where they grow vegetables and their own slaughterhouse where they slaughter cows and so on. So when they feed you in that prison, they give you really good food. So anyway, I went to the prison to visit, and I was speaking to a young man who was in there. I still remember his name. Jeremy was his name. And he was being given the opportunity to study dental, to become a dental technician in prison. I said, wow, this is a wonderful opportunity. When you study this, you become certified in prison. When you leave prison, you have a good job. You'll never have to come back. You won't be tempted to steal or do anything else. He said, but I'm afraid that the guys will beat me up. When they see me go into class, they will hate me and beat me up. So I want to go, but I'm afraid. So I said to him, Jeremy, you're a son of God. Where you go, the presence of God goes. You go with a boldness that when you go into a room, it changes because God is in you. Don't be afraid. God will take care of you. So I prayed for him. And I came back, I think about 2 months later. He's smiling ear to ear. He said, I'm taking the class. No problems. It's working out perfectly. Thank you. I said, it's because you finally realize who you are. You are a child of God. Where you go, the presence of God goes. It's not you that's good. God is good. And he indwells you and he calls you good. Amen? That's another reason why our salvation is such a great thing. Amen? Think of that. No other creation can say that. No angel can ever say that. No archangel, no cherubim. They can never say, the living God indwells me. We can. It makes us containers, arks of the living God. So we walk around with humility, knowing that it's not about us, it's him. All the glory goes to him. Amen? That's why our salvation is so great. That's why our God is so faithful, so wonderful. Next slide, as we wrap up. This was Paul's prayer for the Galatians. And it's something that all of us need to be reminded of. This is what God wants for us. Oh, my dear children, I feel as if I'm going through labor pains for you again. And they will continue until Christ is fully developed in your lives. That's God's plan. In each and every one of us, when a seed is placed in there, that seed is Christ in seed form. And as you mature as a Christian, as you mature, as you grow through trials, through troubles, learning to trust the Lord in good times and bad, that figure of Christ in you is growing and maturing. And more people won't see you and your problems. They'll see Christ in you coming out more and more. That's really the meaning of Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, and I live, yet not I, but it's Christ who lives in me. Paul was such a mature Christian. More and more of Christ could be seen in him than Paul. And that's what the Lord wants for all of us. Christ to be fully developed in our lives. You'll be there, but your life will be dominated by the life of Christ. And does that happen overnight? No way. That takes years of growth and maturing in the Lord. And again, that's by the grace of God, that's by the power of God, by the love of God. No one can go before God and say, well, Father, I've did it my way. No! When we arrive before the Lord, he will examine us and see how much of my son is inside you. Okay. How much of my son is inside you? That's how we will be evaluated. How much of Jesus is showing up in us? Amen? Bringing it to a close. Next slide. We've quickly touched on the first two parts of this. It all goes back to our identity in Christ. Today we've just touched on salvation. We've talked about justification, being forgiven because of what Jesus did. Sanctification, the process of growing and maturing. And of course, glorification, redemption of the body, having a new spiritual body. We didn't touch on that at all. So this is just a high-level overview to remind us what a great salvation we have. What a great God we have who loves us so much that out of all his creation, he has chosen to give humanity this privilege. Another way of, and also at the bottom we have, In justification, your spirit is renewed. You have a new spirit, an obedient spirit. Sanctification, your soul, your thoughts, your mind, your feelings, they are bit by bit brought in line with God. That takes a lifetime of walking with the Lord. And glorification, that's at the return of Jesus when you're given a spirit body, a new body. Another way of looking at our walk with the Lord is in terms of what happens with sin. When you first become a Christian, when you're justified, the penalty of sin is paid for. That's gone. When you walk with the Lord day by day, the power of sin is being removed from your life. It's called sanctification. That's a big word. The power of sin is being removed because you're becoming more mature. You're making right decisions as Jesus did. You're not perfect, but more and more, you're making right decisions. So the power of sin in your life is being removed. Step three, at the return of Christ, you have the presence of sin totally removed. You're given a glorified spiritual body and no more able to be tempted to sin. So today we've just looked at a few points in this. Each of these is a sermon in itself, but today we just did a high level view just to let you know and to remind you so great a salvation we have. And it's because our God is such a loving God, a merciful God, a gracious God. We don't deserve any of this. We don't deserve any of this. It's only by His grace. It's only by His mercy. Amen? And our role in this is simply, it's the easy part, quote unquote. We submit. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We submit and do what He wants to do in His life. We move out of His way so He can do what He wants. Amen? So again, that's a quick overview of where we've been. Last scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. But by His doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness, which is justification, sanctification, this is there, and redemption, that's glorification of the body. So that's an overview of the entire process of salvation. Praise the Lord. Amen.